the east side to the west, this is From the Land, the Cleveland Sports and More podcast. I'm your host, Jason Gerber, and tonight we have a special episode, our first ever backwards episode. We are getting together late to watch the end of a Browns Monday night clash with the Steelers that is more sad than anything else at this point. As we watch the end of the game, we're going to run through our normal nonsense, try to have some fun, and once it's over, we will recap the game with another installment of Skid Marks. I am joined tonight by two of the best ever, my co-hosts, Phil Danko and Chuck Rambaldo. Fellas, remember when I made us get up super early in the morning to watch the World Cup? That sounds pretty good right now. Am I right?
Yeah, you know, it's only the worst day ever until there's the next bad day, right? So it's the worst day ever so far.
You know, the farther I get away from that getting up really early, I realize that, you know, I had a little me time, like I said, but I was really productive that day. And if this continues to go the way it's going, I'm going to not be productive, but I'm going to stay up and just be angry for hours. So, yeah.
So what you're saying is,
I guess the morning was all right.
The morning. Yeah, mm-hmm. The morning is better.
It was all right.
Now, maybe we could watch the replay of this. Anyway, we are going to try to have some fun, and we are going to actually start with our on the road, off the field segment before we get to this. So, fellas, what do you think? When the NFL was putting together the season schedule, did they forget to schedule a game this week for the Saints and the Panthers and just decide to squeeze them in another Monday night game?
I haven't been watching much national news for the past few days, so I thought, hey, maybe there was like really inclement weather. There's a hurricane either in one of their places, so they had to move the game to Monday. I didn't realize they were just double dipping tonight. I didn't like it, especially the split screen stuff.
Yeah, it felt like they forgot a game. Like, I don't remember any advertisement for the double header kind of thing. It was just like, oh shit, the Saints and the Panthers haven't played. All right, yeah. Put them on at 7:15. I don't know. Yeah, it kind of felt like a forgotten game to me.
I feel like they used to do a double header on Monday night to start the year, but never week two. And it's like they were like, well, we can't give them a bye. We forgot to schedule them. Just put them together, put it early. I don't know. It was kind of a not maybe memorable game anyway. Hey, From the Land, fashion forward. Browns white helmets, love them or hate them.
I loved them as the game started. Can I reserve judgment until the outcome? I like the way they look. They look clean, but I don't know how I feel about them.
I also liked them until Joe Buck called them kits. Earlier in the broadcast, like where it's a soccer match. And then I was like, maybe I don't like him if Joe Buck's into him. So I could use a little more color, at least on the jersey. But as far as white helmet, it's cleaner, feels really cleaner than I thought it looks great.
Yeah, I don't really care. They look fine. We are at about a 6 minute mark of the fourth quarter in this game. The Steelers just scored another defensive touchdown. They're up by four. The Browns are trying to get something going. Hey, remember Aaron Rodgers got hurt last week on Monday Night Football? He went on social media last week after that and stated in his post, "The night is always darkest before the dawn, and I shall rise again." Scale of 1 to 5, 1 being summer's eve, 5 being saying out loud that you will rise again. How douchey was that post?
Man, one end of that scale is literal douche. The other end of that scale is still douchey. I'm gonna make it. It's a 1. It's a 1. There's no wrong answer there. Terribly douchey.
I thought 5 is terribly. They're all douchey, right? 5 seems terribly douchey. Because the only time I've ever heard that phrase uttered is the South will rise again. And since they have yet to do that, I'm assuming Aaron Rodgers might beat the South back, but maybe not.
It's just so stupid. Why are you saying that? Why, well, you know, if you're going to say like, hey, you're going to come back, you're not retiring or something like that, that's great. But why do it or say it like that? Give me a break. And give me a break, Watson. Like, what are you doing, man? He's just like scrambling around forever. Like, get out of the pocket and do something or throw the ball downfield. What's going on?
All game, man.
I'm just seeing it now. Oh, goodness gracious.
He's been skittish all game, and
and
dudes are dropping passes, but the passes are behind him. I don't know.
Yeah, that last drop pass, I don't think you can put completely on the receiver. The guy's wide open. Hit him in stride and let him run with it.
Yep.
Of course, if he hits this one. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. All right, so in New York, if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, and Zach Wilson may not be the answer, he has 300 yards in 2 games, 4 picks, and he's completing only 54% of his passes. Who do you replace him with? Some of the available options: Carson Wentz, Joe Flacco, Chad Henne, Colt McCoy, I don't know, Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw? Who sounds like the best option at this point?
No one in that list, man. I don't, there's only one currently out of football retired quarterback that looks like he can step on a field and lead a team to a victory. And Tom Brady owns part of the Raiders. So I don't think he's coming back for the Jets, right? Beyond that, I don't know. The other option, they were kicking around, what's his name from the Falcons by way of the Colts last year.
Matt Ryan.
And I get that because it almost seemed like he didn't want to retire, but he went out kind of in a bad way in Indianapolis. So maybe they kicked the tires on that, but I don't know. No one on that list is leading that team to victories.
Isn't Matt Ryan? I think he's calling games now. He's like on a broadcast team. So
he is. You
know, be pretty interesting for him. I mean, probably still in D. I don't know. Is Philip Rivers, is he busy having more children? Is he available? Yeah. maybe best out. I mean, Flacco, didn't he beat the Browns last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he knows the offense, and he probably wouldn't have to do all that much. But you know, the problem is they're kind of where the Browns are, right? They're all in, and you can't hand that offense over to Zach Wilson. So you're going to bring somebody in and see if they can do anything better than he can. They have to.
It's not looking good for the Jets. I don't like any of those options, but I guess Colt McCoy, I think, was the last one that was on a roster. So maybe he's their best bet. I don't know. I mean, there's another hold on Garrett that like never fucking gets called.
Oh yeah.
So are you guys starting to worry at all about there not being any new TV or movies? Cause this Hollywood strike keeps going.
Yeah. Like forever, maybe. Yeah. I don't want to ruin it. If you guys haven't watched Winning Time yet this week, but
I have not.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. All right,
then I'm not going to talk about it. It's not. Never mind. I'll ruin it for you if I say anything about it. And it has a lot to do with the strike, I think.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Just ChatGPTing the ending of the episode.
No, the series is over. It's over. The series is over. Not the season. The series is over after last night's episode.
The championship series?
The Winning Time series is over.
That's
no
it.
No more Winning Time television.
Yeah. What?
Yep.
Is Magic out of AIDS? They jump, they flash forward.
Well, that was how the series started, remember?
It is the dumbest last 5 minutes of television I've ever seen in my life.
Oh no.
Oh boy.
And you could tell, and I read about it afterwards, they filmed it as an alternate ending in case HBO canceled the series. And they did. So that's what they showed you last night in the episode. It's awful. It's a great episode.
Why would they cancel that series?
It is probably 55 minutes of the best Winning Time episode from a basketball, like stress, like Bird versus Magic for 55 minutes. And then the last 5 minutes is awful. Terrible.
3 minutes left. Come on, Browns. The 2-0 teams in the NFL right now. Dolphins, Ravens, 49ers, Eagles, Cowboys, Falcons, Saints, Buccaneers, and Commanders. Some of these teams are just pretending to be good. Who is the biggest pretender of them all?
Also, between the Falcons and the Commanders, I guess I'm going to say the Falcons just because they play really ugly football, and I don't know how they've won the last 2 weeks, and the Commanders at least somewhat compete for a playoff spot, even though they're not good either. I'm saying Falcons suck. I'm saying Falcons.
Yeah, I think it's the Falcons. Like they're not good. I mean, they've got maybe some good young talent at some of their skilled positions, but that's not a good team. Not that the Commanders are great either, but between the two, I'll lean towards Atlanta.
I'm full in on the Commanders. They play in the worst game of every week. They played the Cardinals in the first week, and they played the Broncos this week, and they've found ways to win them, but I don't know, not very convincingly, and those are always shitty games, so I'm going with Commanders as the biggest pretender of 2-0 teams. Hey, AFC North this weekend. Ravens beat the Bengals, who are now 0-2. Who do they think should be worried about their season?
All the Cincinnati fans will tell you they started 0-2 last year too, but I don't think they dropped two straight interdivision games to start the season. And Burrow kind of limped off the field. So I think they should be a little worried. Hitting a little close to home tonight, though, because that worry has spread north. Seriously, doesn't Cooper's helmet look like it doesn't fit right? Come on. Cooper's white helmet is too small. It's riding way too high. All right, Watson, get to a rhythm here.
That timeout that they had to waste on special teams is starting to loom a little bit. Chuck, should the Bengals be worried about their season?
I didn't know they started 0-2 last year. Because I was going to say, I've watched plenty of Browns team start 0-2, and I knew their season was over by week three. I don't know if the Bengals are a little too talented for that. However, like, they got some real problems, like, on that offensive line. I think it's the same line that went deep into the playoffs, and then I think it's the same offensive line, but you saw the Browns expose it, and the Ravens did pretty well against it. So in this division, yeah, I'd be worried starting 0-2 because I thought you'd be trading off wins, but maybe not.
I still think that's one of the more talented teams in this division and probably in the AFC. So I guess I'm not ready to say that they need to be worried about the season yet, but it is not good to start off 0-2. And especially if Burrow is still nagging that injury, may not be himself anytime soon. So 2-minute warning, Browns with the ball. And a chance still to win this game.
Scale of 1 to 5. How good do you feel about it? That chance? One being no good, 5 being a Burke 7.
Yeah. 1 being like day 2 of having COVID.
Yeah.
5 yeah. being your drive down to the yearly trip. How good do you feel about the Browns' chances of winning right now?
See, you're really good at these scales.
That's I am. The scale. Cuff, man. Some of that right off the top of my head.
On the spot scale.
That's pretty good.
So today I had you guys listen to 4 songs, and those are all off of Gerber's Spotify Discover Weekly. And I had you guys listen to Daughter of Zion by Glenn Schwartz, Mountain Road by Boy Golden, whose real name is Liam Duncan, Judy by Jen Grant and Kim Harris, and I'm the Man by the Silver Sun Pickups. So what was your favorite of the 4?
I like bits and pieces of most of them. The thing I like most is when I hit it and it loaded up, I got a quick glimpse of you and Tammy.
Yeah.
Because it loaded into your like Discover Weekly. I'm like, hey, look at those 2. I got to do that 4 times. I think it might have been Judy. I liked some of the harmonies in that song. You like some music with people with weird voices. Like, there's some weird voices on most of these songs. I like Judy the best, I think, though. I was jacked to see the Silver Sun Pickups. That's a really good band. Like, if you go back and listen to Lazy Eye, they sound completely different because this is like super bubblegummy for them. But I the more I listen to Judy, I think the more I like that song.
Just to be clear, this isn't stuff I like. This is just stuff Spotify is spitting at me.
Well, the algorithm picks guys and gals with weird voices.
I understand, but none of these were my selections. Phil, how about you?
1 second. Damn it.
Hold, please. You're ahead of me.
So of these 4 songs, which was my favorite? Hard to say. Complete disclosure here. I listened to each song 1 time and barely. I listened to each song, wrote 1 note after each song, and I read back through my notes after each one of the songs, and none of them were positive. I was not in a good mood when I listened to these things. So if I had to pick a best of the 4, man, I don't know. Like, I thought it would be, that's hard, man. Like, I don't know. The Mountain Road has an interesting message. Like, this dude is leaning into some drug and alcohol abuse, I think, and rediscovering himself at every turn. It was kind of an interesting story he was telling, but I don't know. I really didn't get into any of the 4, to be honest.
Well, I listened to a bunch of these songs today, and I listened to them several times because I was in the car for a long time. And I would say that I really loved the guitar in Daughter of Zion. But the guy who's singing it sounds like the cartoon cat that used to say suffering succotash.
That's true.
Oh, the Browns just turned it over on downs, didn't they? With a minute left.
I haven't even seen them.
Mountain Road by Boy Golden was my favorite, but Judy was a really close second. I like that one a lot too. But fellas, we are going to go ahead and dive into our only segment of the night. We are going to hit skid marks, our weekly look at the Browns' road to the Super Bowl. There is a minute left in this game, but it looks like it's over. That wasn't going to be completed anyway. The pass to DPJ was incomplete. Browns turn it over on downs. Browns are about to finish an ugly, slow, brutal, fucking frustrating, sloppy, tough, injury-filled, shitty game against the Steelers with a loss. As God, this Pickett kid takes a knee. I've never seen anybody who deserves a win less than this clown. Give me your 60-second instant reaction to this game.
I'm going to waste 59 of these seconds in silence for our lost Nick Chubb, man. Like, this is not the Browns honk shitty fan in me saying this. The Steelers didn't beat the Cleveland Browns tonight. The Cleveland Browns beat the Cleveland Browns tonight. Two defensive scores, penalties all over the place, a supposed top 10 quarterback that can't seem to throw a football accurately. That's awesome. Better get that fixed in the next week. But most importantly, you lose a top tier football player, regardless of position, in Nick Chubb for the season and potentially for his career. It's just not good. It was a bad feel from the get go. And it just kind of, you know, we hung in there and it just got worse. It just got worse as the night went on.
This game feels real Brownsy. And when I say that, everybody knows what that means. I thought the defense played well enough. They played good enough to win this game. That's not the issue. We spent so much time talking about this offense. And unfortunately, the only thing that's worked for this offense, what feels like the last 3 years, is probably now out for the season. I'm tired of short yardage play calling that is just so dumb. It's so dumb. And the real issue here is we have a $230 million quarterback who looks below average to subpar. And I think we also talked about the no excuse stuff, man. Like, there can't be excuses here with timing and route, because half the balls he's throwing, at least the sideline ones, looking up and they're 5 yards out of bounds. It's a ridiculously frustrating game. They basically had the ball the entire first quarter. It just feels so Brownsy. 60 seconds of this just feels so Brownsy to me. And the game felt over once Chubb got hurt. Like, it just, even if they win this game, it still felt over.
What's frustrating about it is in the first quarter before Chubb got hurt, the Browns looked like the better team. And I get that the Steelers scored a touchdown on the very first play of the game. It's kind of a fluke interception. But after that, the Browns did whatever they wanted to, and they looked just fine. And the defense looked good. And then Chubb gets hurt, and I swear to God, like, the entire team deflated. And the offense could never find itself for the rest of the game, other than that one big play by Ford. You know, the offense just looked lost. And I thought the defense was actually really good. They had a couple broken plays that they gave up, and that was it, the one big touchdown. Other than that, the defense was great. They did everything they needed to. And they held these guys to two scores, right? A field goal and a touchdown? Yeah. Maybe two field goals and a touchdown? And then the rest of it came on turnovers. But I get it. I get why it feels like such a Brownsy game. The stupid penalties, the holding penalties that kill drives, just the dumb plays, like Watson's like face mask out of bounds. Things like that are just so typical old Browns that I just hate to say that, like, that shit rears its head in Pittsburgh. So when we go to Pittsburgh is when we see this shit. And that really sucks. So you have an MVB, most valuable Brown?
I guess I'll give it to Ford. Not expecting the workload he got tonight. And he at times looks like a real capable back. I don't think that means like this is their guy moving forward. I think they start making phone calls for guys who are on the street. Maybe old man Fournette gets in a Browns jersey or something along those lines. Yeah. Somebody is going to get signed to play for this team. But again, a guy last week too, like, fumbled and then got the ball 15 times. He looks like a capable running back. But against the Steelers, it also looks like they don't give a shit who's back there if it's not Nick Chubb, because they're just knowing that they're going to pass most downs, and it just looks so out of sync for most of these games. So I'll give it to Ford, because I assume his butthole puckered real tight for a few minutes and then he did okay.
Yeah, man, I'm just digesting the team stats right now. And this is this is like an anomaly to end all anomalies in NFL football. If you looked at these stat lines and had to pick who won this game, it wouldn't even be close, except for the two things, right? The defensive score. So step away from that for a moment. And to give my most valuable Brown in this game, you know what? I like the Jerome Ford choice, because that guy was pressed into action and he averaged, you know, 6.5 yards per carry. A 69-yard run will help with that. I'm going to go another way and give it to Amari Cooper for this reason. He played hurt. He did exactly what we think Amari Cooper should do. He caught and converted third down play after third down play on passes that were not exactly where they should be. He was still catching the ball and converting. He ended up with 90 yards receiving. So I'll give it to Cooper in a game that, again, just looking at these stats, it's you're right. I don't know. It's fucking Pittsburgh. I don't know what that fucking Pittsburgh. I feel like I'm on Winning Time now. I am Jerry West right now. This is why we do the show a day later.
I was going to give it to Cooper as well. Great of Ford to step up the way that he did, but I feel like Cooper's the guy on the team that actually excelled tonight. He had a really good game, 8 catches maybe, probably almost 100 yards, if not to 100, and a bunch of clutch third downs. There just really wasn't anybody else making an impact. Although I would say, like, if you want to talk not MVP, but maybe talk guy you get the most excited about to see him making the leap, is it JOK right now? Because he was all over the place tonight, right?
Yep. Two tackles for loss. He was kind of like a heat-seeking missile. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you want to see out of that guy.
So, elephant in the room. Where does this team go without its single best player, Nick Chubb?
Man, this is going to be weird to say. I think that's the last time you see Nick Chubb in a Browns uniform. He is due $16 million next year. You can basically take the $3 million in dead cap for a team that's going to be cash strapped next year, which kind of sucks, man, because you knew they were going to ride him really hard this year and he was going to be the focal point, get him a lot more touches. But where do they go from here? You're looking at a scrap heap of guys. Maybe Kareem Hunt's available still, and Fournette, or are some of the, like, the Falcons have a couple running backs, the Jets have, you know, like, maybe they make some trade for some guy who can come in here. But dynamically, how does it change the offense? What I saw tonight is that Kevin Stefanski made zero adjustment. You see Deshaun Watson kind of running for his life, and either Deshaun Watson's holding the ball too long, or the plays are taking too long to develop, the routes are too deep. In a defense like Pittsburgh, why are you not running slants or screens or wide receiver screens or anything along those lines? That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. Like, if they can't find a guy who's a running back who averages 5 yards a carry or 4 yards a carry, you're going to see a lot more short passes. Hey, maybe Njoku gets mixed into the offense a little more, possibly. Yeah. I don't know. But I would hope you start using those speedy guys, even the younger dudes, to run slants. Basically, that's what the NFL's moved to anyway, and that's probably what Stefanski wants. So that's what we're going to get, for good or bad.
This has now put the magnifying glass, so to speak, on the Stefanski-Watson relationship, right? That was the focus coming into this season. This was, all right, Kevin Stefanski, no more excuses. You have your quarterback. Go out there and win. You add a Nick Chubb to that, and it's a luxury to have in today's NFL. You have a marquee running back that you can hitch the entire offense to and win football games still. So now that's gone. I agree with Chuck. The frustration beyond the injury and what it might mean for a guy like Nick Chubb tonight was, you know, in the NFL, you have a Nick Chubb as a luxury. How about preparing a little bit of your offense for when he's not out there? And I didn't see that anywhere tonight. Like, we've got potentially this capable quarterback, beyond capable, we hope. And they didn't switch. They didn't flip a switch to say, okay, plan B. Now we've got this quick hitting passing offense that can still beat this Pittsburgh Steelers team that shouldn't be competing with us on the field. And you know, they just couldn't flip that switch. They looked lost out there. He's scrambling all over the place. There are turnovers. There's mistakes up and down that offense. So Stefanski and Watson, gut check time. I put this loss on you two, and I think they need to figure it out going forward. And they can. There's a lot of season left. You switch gears here, and you become what every other team in the NFL is going forward, where it's pass first, run second. Fine. And I think Kareem Hunt's the natural selection here, but at the same time, you're not getting another Nick Chubb in the doors. There isn't another running back out there, unless the Titans want to give up Travis Henry, that is going to allow us to run the same kind of offense. So let me see some adjustment. Chuck's right. It didn't happen today. It better happen between now and when we play the Titans.
I like how Phil assumes that Stefanski and Watson are listening to the show. I'm putting this loss on you.
I'm emailing up to him in the morning. As soon as you post it, I am sending it to him.
Man, I can't believe you have their email addresses and you haven't told us.
It's in the pocket of the white satin jacket.
That's right.
I think that we did see some adjustments tonight. I feel like Watson spent the entire second half in the shotgun, which he wouldn't have been doing if Chubb was out there. But what we didn't see was, like, the short, quick passes that we actually were seeing at the beginning of the game that were getting yards. Yep. It felt like the play calling didn't adjust effectively, I guess is the way I'd look at it. But I do think that without Chubb, they're going to spread the ball out, and they're going to spread the team out, and they're probably going to do a lot more throwing than, you know, we thought after week one. Or even after the first quarter today, when it looked like the offense was going to center around Nick Chubb. I think we're going to see it spread out more. I think they're going to rely on Watson more. And speaking of which, our weekly Watson watch. What do we think of Deshaun Watson after two games this season.
All right. I'm perpetually negative tonight, so I'm gonna take a different approach here. I'm gonna look at this and try to find a silver lining in all this. Tonight, I didn't think much of him at all. He looked indecisive. He looked skittish. He didn't look like when he had guys wide open, he wasn't putting the ball where it needed to be more times than not. There were some good passes, don't get me wrong, but we're about to see a quarterback that's going to, you're the focus of this offense now going forward. Welcome to today's NFL. Let's see you perform like you did in at least that one good year in Houston.
I'll just be negative. I don't think much of Deshaun Watson over the last two games.
I tried, man.
Yeah, I know. Like And again, I got to hear these guys bring up the weather last week. Okay, cool. The weather isn't a factor tonight. And it's so weird because you want to think that Stefanski really trusts Watson, but I don't know. You know, like, I don't know. It's obvious that Watson is not trusting something because he's so skittish. And, you know, like, there's times if it's going to break down, okay, just start running. That's what we want to see you do. And he didn't. He kind of ran sideline to sideline. And I saw two plays where he put the ball in his off hand to try to fight off a defensive tackle, then put it in his throwing arm and then throw. Like, to me, it's just somebody who doesn't either have the command of the offense or, again, like, he's uncomfortable because this is not the offense that he had success in. And maybe that's what it's going to turn into, where you're talking about five wide receivers on that field for three downs, you know, like every play almost. So is it an opportunity for him to get more comfortable? I hope. But what do I think? I think we gave up an awful lot in draft capital and an awful lot of guaranteed money for a very average to subpar quarterback for what we've seen out of the last, did he play six last year? Five? I don't remember.
Six.
Eight games. So we've seen half a season.
Yep.
And I don't know if he's any better than any of the other quarterbacks that have quarterbacked this team over the last 20 some years.
4-4 in those games, right? You're exactly right.
Yeah.
8 games. I think he's 4-4.
Yeah. Well, that makes him better than a lot of Browns quarterbacks in the last 20 years.
That's true.
500 was a pipe dream for Brandon Whedon.
Yeah. What I mean is, like, at least eye test wise is what we're seeing, you know, and if he's an elite quarterbacks make everybody around them better. And I don't know if he's doing that at least yet. You're not seeing, you know, Cooper's always going to be, I'm glad we got the verbiage. He's a great route runner. I heard that twice tonight from play by play guys. He's always going to be good. But is he making David Bell better? Is he making Elijah Moore better? Is he making these guys, Njoku, Harrison Bryant? What the fuck? Who is he making better? To me, he's just been very pedestrian over 8 games.
I still don't think it's fair to put the last 6 games of last season on him. But looking at the first 2 this year, I'll tell you, my biggest concern is that this dude was ridiculously accurate when he played for Texas. And he is terrible. Like, even some of his completions are behind guys, or they're low, or they're not in good spots where they can make something out of the play. He had a ball to Cooper that, like, hit him in the thigh, and Cooper caught it and rolled over. And I think they got the first down. They picked up like 6 yards on it. But if he had hit him in stride, Cooper had like half the field to go. You know, he would have gotten 10 or 15 yards at least on that. And that's what they're giving up with all this inaccuracy. And that's what really bothers me, man. I mean, that in addition to the fact that at least today, he looked like he was very poor at making a decision about when to run, which was the exact opposite of last week. I mean, in 1 week, he went from making all the decisions right to making some really strange ones tonight that, I don't know, it didn't help him. But, I mean, he had a touchdown throw that was a nice play where it's him getting out of the pocket, getting on the move and making a play. That's what we want to see from him. He had some balls that he fit in some tight windows to Cooper a couple of times, but overall, man, I wouldn't say I'm super duper worried, but I'm at least like somewhat kind of side-eyeing worry and wondering what's coming next and what might be there that can be improved. I guess we'll move on. I have a feeling this is going to end poorly as well. Our Browns bet segment. What bet did you make on the Browns this week? We all started with $90,000 in Gerbucks after we all lost last week. What was your bet?
Felt pretty good about it. I took over 2.5 total touchdowns, and it was plus 150 because I figured maybe the defense is going to get one here. And they had 2, and they were driving. And I'm like, oh, they're going to get another. And that was the Watson personal foul. He had 2 tonight, by the way. What quarterback has had 2 personal fouls in the game?
For face masks.
Gorgeous. Fantastic. So obviously I didn't cash in on that bet, but I bet 10,000 gear bucks. So I think 20% of my gear bucks are gone every 2 weeks.
Well, Chuck, don't worry. I'm right there with you. I took advantage of a boosted bet, and it was all Nick Chubb, man. And so that my bet was out the window when he went down. He was on pace to win the bet. It was a Cleveland win. It was a parlay, three level. Cleveland win, Chubb 100 yards or more. Chubb one touchdown. It was plus 550. I couldn't pass that up.
Plus 550
against these Steelers with a healthy Chubb. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And maybe it was my bet that gave him the Maloik. So I apologize to Browns Nation. And I lost 10,000 gear bucks.
Neither of you are alone, my friends.
I raised to zero.
I had 10,000 gear bucks on the Browns, giving 1.5 points. The Steelers scoring less than 25, which I thought was a gimme. And Nick Chubb to score at any time. And that was plus 200. And I felt great about it. Right up until the time that poor Nick Chubb got hurt, because I still thought they were controlling the game and they were going to do just fine. We're all down to 80,000 gear bucks. We need something to turn around here, or else we're going to have to, like, 8 games into this refund or recapitalize our accounts or something here. Next week, Browns are home against the 1-1 Tennessee Titans. And I have terrible news, fellas. All five of us, every single one of us, picked the Browns to win. Any interest in changing your pick?
No. Coming back home, Phil's satin jacket should be delivered by then, so I assume he'll be sporting it Sunday evening. No, I don't think the Titans, is it still Ryan Tannehill under center there?
Yep.
Yeah. And Henry's Henry, but it's a good test for this defense, at least from a ground running standpoint, so... maybe they get their shit together. I don't want to give the Steelers a pass, but that is a different game and a different rivalry, especially going into that stadium. They're never going to win there on Monday night, even though I'm positive they're going to win here tonight. So I'm not going to change it. I still think they can get that W.
I'm not changing my prediction there. That's a win. I predicted the Browns to lose this game before changing my bet, and I thought that, all right, that they come back and rebound against Tennessee at home, right? So here I am. All right, that's what they have to do. I don't know what shakes out other injuries. I mean, the Nick Chubb's a big one, but a lot of people went down with injuries today on the defensive side of the ball today too. So see how that shakes out. But regardless, that's at home. Come back, get a bounce back win against the team. Again, Tennessee, they're okay at best on their best day, right? So in Cleveland, let's win that game. Let's get back on the winning ways and feel a little bit better next week about our team.
I'm with you guys. No way a pick should be changed. They should be able to beat the Titans in Cleveland. The offense will have a week to adjust to not having Nick Chubb, and there should be no question that they can get that game won. But, fellas, that is it for tonight. We are out of time. I am out of questions for now, and... we just did the whole show without mentioning that we only have the day before the night before Tuesday and yearly trip Eve Wednesday before we gather with all the guys on our yearly trip. With that news that it's not too late to start pretending like you will miss your family, I hope you guys have a great couple of days, and let's get together and do this again real soon.
In person.
Absolutely, in person. I can't wait. Absolutely, man.
Most importantly, I want some assurance that that fucking Yin's wife of yours is not going to be in the room for the rest of this game, Chuck.
Oh, no.
She's not in this room. She's in the next room, though. She's right over there. And she'll end up in this room, though, because I moved in here so I can be in front of the TV.
We can invite her in after we win.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? What are you talking about? Gerber said you can't be in the room.
217-9250. I don't really mean that. I
know you don't.
I don't want to pick fights. She knows I'm kidding, right?
You know he's kidding, right?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Pretty sure.
All right, good. All right, yeah. That's close enough.
Yeah. The Yinzer mob.
God. Everyone's getting hurt in this game, Chuck.
Everyone.
On both sides. Everyone's getting hurt.
Yeah.
Special teams. Extra special tonight, too. Jeez.
Oh, man.
So do you feel let's say the team, other than the Chubb injury, they get through this week and everyone else is pretty much okay. You know, like Cooper's okay, you know, Ward and Newsom are okay, like they can play, right? Do you feel better if on Tuesday morning we wake up and they have signed Kareem Hunt? I think that's the obvious choice here, right? The dude knows the offense. Like, he's waiting for someone to pick him up. I don't know. Like, do you feel better or just feel indifferent about it? Like, is it indifference? Because you still have to then go through the rest of the season being a pass first team, right? Involving a guy like Kareem Hunt, maybe.
He's great out of the backfield.
Catching passes, too. That's what I mean. They're picking up another running back.
For sure.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know if it makes me feel any better. None's going to make me feel better because nobody replaces Nick Chubb, right? Like, nobody. Right. Yeah. The only guy comparable to him is Peyton Hillis that had 1 year. I mean, that's it, right? Like, that's the only thing comparable. And Peyton Hillis flamed out after a season.
And he almost drowned.
Yeah, that's
not available.
He's not available. I'm not saying they just.
Well, I mean, this forces the hand to change this offense to the offense that they should be, right? I mean, it kind of does. Yeah. With Elijah Moore, with Cooper, with Njoku, with Watson as your quarterback, it forces their hand a bit that now you have to be the offense that the NFL. That's the NFL offense these days. That hand is now forced. You have to be a pass first, run second, rather than the reverse. You know, no matter who they pick up.
This is why you can't host the show, because you asked that question. You didn't even really let us give us a chance to answer that
I thought
you
the show was over.
I'm just saying, I'm in trip mode.
I'm just bullshitting with two of my best friends. I didn't know we were still in show format.
Well, it's
cunt. Let me rephrase.
Attaboy.
I'll tell you what, it's also just basic conversational English with people. You know, ask a question, give us a chance to answer.
Rough loss.
I want to know your opinions on what I just asked and answered.
Chuck, please go ahead.
So I've seen a few teams over 2 weeks run that offense and we're not the Miami Dolphins. You know, like that's a different level of athleticism from a wide receiver standpoint. Not really the Chargers, even though they lose, their offense still looks awesome. You know, like they're really comparable, at least from a Brown standpoint, right? They had a great running back. They have a great wide receiver core. They have a good to great quarterback, maybe. It's all, you know, like to me, like from the second they get on a bus or whatever they're doing, or plane to come back to Cleveland, like, to me, now everything shifts to Stefanski. Like it has to shift to him. This is the offensive guru. This is the genius. This is the guy who wanted Watson, or at least a quarterback who can run his offense. And if they can't put it together, I'd give it to the bye week. Like it's going to be a long, arduous season again. You know, because you know this fan base is going to turn very quickly, man. The expectations are high every year. They're even higher this year. If they can't get it this right, I think it's an ugly, how many weeks are left? 16?
16 more.
4 months of this shit again?
The Guardians are still playing right now. Yeah, exactly. Go Cavs.
Oh, God. Like, because maybe we should aim, if we can get in by one, we should probably aim for like a bar and hang out and have a few drinks and eat some lunch and then go grocery shopping and then check in at three. If that's,
I thought that was just assumed. I'm sorry. I already worked all that into the timing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm just saying we can't meet at the Walmart. We should find the Applebee's. Or the Chili's.
So there is an Applebee's not far from this Walmart.
Excellent. I knew it.
Yeah. No Chili's to speak of that I could find anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
So my point is, like, if Chuck gets delayed,
I won't.
He can send a text out and be like, all right, I'm leaving right now. And Gerbs, you can hit the road.
I'll meet you at the bar. You're making this way too hard, man.
What bar? Did you find a bar? Leave.
I'll find something.
I will be in charge. I thought we're going to that house.
The rec room.
The rec room. All right. So
we got to meet by the Walmart. Listen, I might just decide to leave 3 hours earlier and just beat you to the bar, man. I mean, it's
all right. That sounds good.
Yeah. So we got a plan. All right. That's good.
We do have a plan. Groceries on Thursday, t-shirts on Wednesday. Done.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
We're going to call an end to this thing. Fuck you, Browns. Fucking fuck Browns. You, Steelers. Ugh. Fuck everybody.
Yeah. Guys, it's trip week, though. It's trip week.
Yeah, true. It's trip week, true. Baby.
That's right.
Trip week. All right, boys.
Love you.
I love you guys.
Love you guys.
See you. Bye.
What do you mean I'm funny? Funny like a clown here to amuse you?